You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine, along with co-host Pat Traina. How you doing today, Patty?
Doing well, Ed. Coming to you on a rainy Monday morning. Practice, New York Giants are practicing today. This morning, they'll probably move indoors for the practice session, given the weather. And it's their last practice here in East Rutherford before they take off to visit the Detroit Lions for a week of joint practices leading into the preseason games. So just taking it one day at a time.
You know, it's so weird, Patty, because it's still considered training camp, but there's no more public practices in New Jersey. You know, there will be, there will be public practices when the Giants go to Detroit, but it's just kind of odd because, you know, because the public part of training camp, you know, at least in New Jersey, is done.
Yeah. And what's also done apparently is the media, we had an opportunity to stand on the sidelines to watch practices. And based on what happened Sunday, which was their first practice back off the preseason game, we were stationed on the patio. So I guess the days of being able to roam the sidelines for that great perspective that we were able to get on watching some of the plays is gone as well. But look, you roll with it. I mean, whatever it is, it is.
That's right, Patty. For fans who don't know, you know, when you're on the patio, there are only a few occasions when plays actually come close to you. That's one of the end zones, you know, on one end of the field. Other than that, all of the action is pretty far away. So you don't get the view, you don't get the perspective, you know, in terms of picking up some of the smaller things sometimes.
No, you don't. And also you have to deal with the wall of bodies that are usually in front of you that block you from seeing things going from the opposite direction. So I know I like to stand behind the play because I can see the, you know, the line play, you know, the blocking and how that develops and who's getting off blocks and all that stuff. But, you know, when you have a wall of players standing there and, you know, that's where they're told to stand. They orchestrate these practices kind of like a dance here. But when you have a bunch of bodies in front of you, unfortunately, you can't see these little details.
You know what, though, Patty, considering how close you and I came to getting run over the other day, you know, maybe we're better off on the patio.
You're still going to remember that, huh? That's the highlight of your of camp for you, huh?
That's a highlight of camp.
That's,
you know,
the fastest I think you've ever moved in your life.
Yeah, you know, the fastest I've moved in quite a while. You know, Khalif Raymond is smaller than I am, but I really didn't want that helmet in the chest.
I don't blame you. And it's funny because on that play, I kind of dashed out of the way too. And I actually tweaked one of my knees and it was just kind of funny. I'm like, oh no, I didn't even get hit.
Oh man.
And I thought I had suffered a non-contact ACL or something, but I'm okay, folks. So as of now,
that's okay. That's good. We don't need any media injuries during training camp, Patty. All right, so Giants fans, enough of the banter that you probably don't care about. Let's get to what we're going to do for today. And, you know, coming off the Cleveland game, heading into Detroit, we thought we would start today with a little bit of talk about players whose stock has gone up and players whose stock has gone down. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about. You know, some of the positions where we're concerned with what we saw Thursday night as well. But we'll start with stock up, stock down. And Patty, you know, why don't you go first with either a stock up, stock down, wherever you want to start.
Okay, I am going to start with a stock down because the stock up would be the obvious choice. And you know, we all know what that's going to be. SB is his initials. I'm going to go with a stock down. And I have to say, I was disappointed in the punting by Riley Dixon. I thought the punting was very inconsistent. You know, there was, you know, he had some good punts in there. He had some wobblers in there. I think one ball was shanked. It was very inconsistent. Of 10 punts, he managed to put 3 inside the 20. He had one touchback. The gross average, 44.2 yards, and his net was 39.7, which is, you know, not really ideal. But what bothered me was the consistency or lack of the consistency. And I really thought that, you know, I would have liked to have seen a better game, because special teams is just so important. We don't talk about it very often, but it is one third of the game. It determines field position. And I just thought that, you know, that could have been a better job done.
You know, Patty, obviously the Giants, you know, they cut Taylor Semenk before training camp and left a clear path for Dixon. You know, the question is whether he's going to be able to grab it or not, you know, to get the job. And, you know, if the Giants don't like what they see from him over the next three games, then you'll be looking at, you know, at the waiver wire when teams cut down to 53, you know, for another veteran punter. You know, at this point, there's really no telling if they think Dixon's going to be the answer or not.
Well, what's interesting about Dixon is I thought in the spring he was also inconsistent. And I figured, okay, you know, maybe, you know, after kicking in Denver where you have a higher altitude and the ball tends to travel better, you know, maybe there was an adjustment. They had to do some tweaking of his, you know, technique or something like that. But it continued into the preseason game. And for those wondering, the Giants did trade a conditional draft pick, seventh round draft pick to Denver. They have 2 7th round draft picks. Don't forget. I think that they have the Rams 7th round pick in next year's draft as part of the Alec Ogletree trade. But if for some reason Dixon does not make the 53-man roster, the Giants will get that pick back that they traded to Denver.
All right, Patty, I'm going to give you, you did a stock down. I'm going to give you a stock up. And that is going to have to be veteran defensive end Kerry Wynn. You know, he's a guy who I have kind of overlooked, you know, through the spring and the summer, to be honest with you, because he's a smallish guy for, you know, for a defensive end in, you know, in a base 4-3 or in a base 3-4 system, excuse me, you know, but he has performed really well, you know, throughout the spring, throughout the summer. Pat Shurmur's been complimentary. He had a nice game the other day with, had a handful of plays, forced a fumble on special teams. You know, he's a guy who may not be a dynamic player, but he always seems to make himself useful, to find a way to be part of the team. He's a good guy in the locker room. And even though, you know, he admits he's undersized, I think that he could wind up with a bigger role in the defensive line rotation, you know, than at least I initially thought.
Yeah, Kerry Wynn is the guy. I got to be honest, at the start of training camp, I had doubts as to whether or not he would fit into a 3-4 base. And, you know, when I say that, I go back and I look at the breakdown of the personnel alignments that they had. And they did run the 3-4 base quite a number of times in the preseason opener. Now, whether or not they do the same thing, you know, once the regular season starts, I think that's up for debate. But what I was concerned about there was Kerry Wynn, the last couple of seasons, his production has kind of dropped off. He hasn't had the impact that he had the first 2 years he was with this team. And I was kind of surprised they brought him back. And then I thought, okay, not a big deal. You know, it's competition. See how he kind of, you know, adapts to this new system. Well, he has taken to it. He's a very intelligent player. And, you know, a lot of times fans and readers, they make fun of me when I say that a player is very intelligent, but that's half the battle right there. If you don't have a good football IQ, your chances are you're not going to be very successful at this game. And Kerry Wynn has that high football IQ. And we saw it yesterday in practice when he picked off a Davis Webb pass and returned it for the pick six. I think it was like a 70 yard return. I don't remember because the play was, you know, coming at us, and I couldn't see where exactly he picked the ball off at. But, you know, that showed good alertness. It showed that, you know, he got his hands up, something that, you know, we didn't see defensive linemen in general do in the past. You know, now they're getting their hands up to knock balls down or maybe tip them to themselves. So just a really alert heads up play. And, you know, Kerry, you know, I asked him what the differences were in you know, his responsibilities this year versus in the past. And he says it's not that much different. You know, he did cite a few things that are different. And you can see that video on the maven.io.nygiants site that I run. But just you get the sense that he's more comfortable and able to make the contributions that maybe weren't there to be made or you know, that he just missed out on in the last couple of years.
Patty, why don't you go ahead and give us a stock up?
Stock up. I am going to say Kyle Lauletta. We have to go with Kyle Lauletta. I mean, you know, I know people think that I'm a Davis Webb homer. And just to clarify something, I'm telling you what I see. You know, and I know a lot of other people have said the same thing about me, and I'm sorry, I said the same thing about Davis Webb looking, you know, promising in practices. And, you know, I tweeted the other night, I said Davis Webb did not have a good game, but look, let's give credit where it's due. Kyle Lauletta did. You know, he came out, the game wasn't too fast for him, he wasn't too amped up. And he went out there, you know, it wasn't a perfect game, but, you know, in the few opportunities he got, he played well. And you know, I think now you have to go back after one game and say, okay, maybe the number two job isn't necessarily a lock for Davis Webb, you know, because of the way it balanced out. But, you know, there's still three preseason games left to go, but Kyle Lauletta has certainly made it an interesting competition.
Yes, he has, Patty. You know, and he said yesterday he was asked directly if he thought the number two job was open, and he said that he thought that it was. I mean, I still believe that the number two job, you know, at the beginning of this year for 2018, I believe the number two job is going to be Davis Webb's. But what I've said, you know, all along is that when you look at Davis Webb and you look at Kyle Lauletta, that it's not necessarily a 2018 competition. It's a long-term competition. You know, it's a, you know, who might be the quarterback 2 years from now, you know, 3 years from now, or will one of these guys show that they can be the quarterback a couple of years from now? And I think that, you know, that the quick takeaway from what we saw Thursday is that this competition between these two is just getting started. And I think that we can't say right now Davis Webb is the guy or Davis Webb is a bust and Kyle Lauletta just can't throw the ball deep enough to be a pro quarterback. You know, we see that they both have strengths and weaknesses. They're both young guys who are developing. I do believe that Kyle Lauletta kind of put a marker down on Thursday and said, you know, don't forget about me, you know, because there's things that I can do. So yeah, his stock definitely rose on Thursday.
For sure.
I guess, you know, Patty, it would be really easy. You know, when I think of stock down, you know, I guess, you know, it would be really easy to give you Davis Webb at this point. But I honestly don't think I'm going to do that. I think I might give you at this point, I'm going to continue to give you Roger Lewis because I just don't see him getting opportunities, you know, ahead of guys like Amba Edetawo and Hunter Sharp and Khalif Raymond, you know, when it comes to competing for a wide receiver job. We've talked about him before. We've said he needs a big preseason. He did have a couple of catches the other night, but I just don't see him getting the opportunities, you know, to catch passes from Eli Manning, you know, to take some first team reps in practices or games. I don't see him getting the opportunities that some of these other guys are getting. So for me, I'm going to continue to say, you know, stock down for Roger Lewis.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ed. I mean, at this point in training camp, this is where guys tend to separate themselves. And if you are starting with, say, the third team offense, and you are either and you're not getting snaps with the second team or the first team at this point, that's generally not a good, you know, sign for your chances of making the roster. Similarly, if you start with the, say, the second team and you get demoted down to third team, that's not a good sign either. And I asked Pat Shurmur about that. I said, you know, how do you go about adjusting that? Do you base it on merit? Do you base it on, hey, I want to see how this guy looks with the first team? You know, how do you do it? He said, most cases it's based on merit. And I think, you know, we haven't seen the new press release that came out, but from the team that has the unofficial depth chart, but I would be very surprised if Roger Lewis has risen up the chart from, I think he was at third team at that point, you know, to second team. And, you know, it's clear to me that his roster spot is definitely in jeopardy.
Patty, let's each do one more. Why don't you, either a stock up or a stock down? Why don't you go ahead and give us one?
I am going to think outside the box. I'm going to give you a stock up, and I'm going to say John Greco.
And interesting.
Yes, what I liked about John Greco is, okay, first off, John Greco is a guy who, when they re-signed him, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of surprised. And then, you know, you go back and you say, well, he played with Shurmur when the two were in Cleveland. But still, that was several years ago. So at that point, you say to yourself, okay, well, Shurmur's evolved as a coach. And, you know, Greco has gotten older as a player and he's been other places. But what I like about Greco is that, A, you know, he's a veteran presence and a very calming presence. You know, he's kind of like the Michael Thomas in that offensive line room, a guy who's been around for years, who can, you know, who's seen it all. And he's really an understated voice in that offensive line room. But Greco was asked to play guard with the second team, and then I think he played center with the third team ahead of Evan Brown, the undrafted rookie free agent that, you know, his technique looks good, but the game speed was just too much for him. And it's interesting because the Giants, to me, are loaded with interior linemen. They have guys who can do multiple things. You know, you look at the depth and you say, okay, whoever doesn't win the starting center job between John Jalapio and Brett Jones, he's going to be the sixth guy. And now you look at Greco, who can play center and guard, and you say, okay, is he going to be the seventh guy? You know, so I just think that maybe they have, you know, that there's more value to keeping a guy like Greco, who can play center and guard, than, say, John Jerry, who is basically just a guard. He's not, I wouldn't really say he's a tackle, even though they had him at tackle. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they find a spot for him, because they do need to find another offensive tackle. They just, right now, I don't think they have a definite guy to back up Nate Solder and Eric Flowers, and I think that's got to be a concern.
Definitely, Patty. It's going to be really interesting to see what the Giants do with the backup offensive linemen. You have so many guys, you know, on the interior who have NFL experience, you know, who have been at least capable players, you know, at times in their careers. Greco is one who, you know, I like Greco quite a bit, you know. We'll see if they find a roster spot for him. John Jerry, you know, you keep shaking your head and wondering how he keeps managing to stick around and stick around and stick around. And you came to Thursday night, John Jerry playing with the second unit had a nice night. So, you know, he shows you value as a backup on the inside. They have Chris Scott, who's got, you know, NFL experience, you know, with the Carolina Panthers, you know, as an interior backup. Zach Karen is a guy they picked up, you know, who Shurmur knows from his days in Minnesota. So they have a lot of guys on that inside, and it is going to be very interesting to see how that shakes out. You know, and as you said, I mean, I continue to worry about the tackle position as far as the depth out there. Patty, let me give you my last, you know, stock up guy. And that's going to be, you know, one of the Giants' corners. We've worried about cornerback depth, you know, for quite a while. A guy who impressed me in a couple of plays Thursday night was Grant Haley, the undrafted free agent rookie out of Penn State. Made a really nice run stop out on the edge. Then when he was challenged on a deep ball, he was able to get into position and defend that and knock that away. When I start thinking about building a 53-man roster and looking at cornerback depth, you know, I'm starting to look at Haley and think that he's a guy who might wind up winning a job here.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. With Sam Beal having been lost for the season with that shoulder injury, you figured he would have maybe been the fourth guy behind Janoris Jenkins, Eli Apple, William Gay, and then Sam Beal, and that probably would have left one spot open for another guy. But I think, you know, now with Beal on the shelf for the season, you have two spots potentially open. And Grant Haley is a guy who they were very, very much high on going back into the spring. He was a premium free agent. He received $100,000 guaranteed in his contract, which is a very high amount for an undrafted free agent. Generally, those guys don't get much, if any, of a guarantee, and they certainly don't get, you know, signing bonuses, a lot of them. So that just goes to show you what they were looking for. And, you know, if you look at the depth at cornerback, you know, Dante Dion has been sidelined with a hamstring. It just seems like every year something comes up and bites him to where he can't get on the field and stay on the field. You know, Teddy Williams had to leave the team to deal with a personal issue. William Gay was banged up. Now, he returned to practice yesterday, but he's kind of had his struggles as well. So, you know, you look for guys who are on the rise, and for sure, Grant Haley is definitely one of them. He's been flying under the radar a little bit, but as you said, he's actually gone out there and against the same level of competition, he's actually risen above it.
Patty, let's turn to, you know, coming off of Thursday's game. We don't have to go through every position, but just let's go through a couple of positions maybe where you and I have concerns. Why don't you pick one, you know, to focus on, and I'll pick one, and we'll talk about those. Go ahead and give us your position that you're, you know, primarily concerned about.
Well, we mentioned offensive tackle, but I think on defense, I am very concerned about the free safety spot. I don't know that anyone separated himself in the game. Darian Thompson, who was able to, you know, who got the start ahead of Curtis Riley, who I believe was still dealing with a hamstring injury, and so he was inactive. Darian Thompson got beat on a couple of plays, and then he landed up with a hamstring strain that has him back on the sideline. This is the second time this year that Darian Thompson has suffered some type of injury that is costing him practice time. You recall that he was sidelined back in the spring. He missed the entire mandatory minicamp, and that to me is a concern, you know, as is the fact that I have maintained that he just, ever since he had that foot problem for which he needed surgery as a rookie, he just hasn't looked like the guy that I think they were hoping to get. So, you know, you also have other guys who are vying for that position. Andrew Adams, you know, who I think is more of a strong safety type. He's good in the box. He's good against run support. He's, you know, passable in coverage, you know, but, you know, I think they can maybe do a little bit better in coverage there. So I don't know that they have a free safety there. And what's interesting at is when you have a defense like what James Betcher wants to run, which is a very aggressive attack style defense, if you don't have good cover guys on the back end, if you don't have, you know, that good last line of defense in your safety position, you're going to get burnt. And I think they did a few times in the game against Cleveland. So I'm just concerned that maybe they don't have what they need at that position. You know, is Curtis Riley going to be the guy? Well, we haven't seen him in a game for the Giants yet. He might very well be. But remember, he's coming off of a hamstring issue, and those things can be very tricky.
Patty, when I think of position concerns as well, I'm actually going to stay with the secondary. because I think the thing that I came out of Thursday night, you know, looking at was, you know, can this team cover against the pass? Because, you know, I'll talk about cornerback, because I thought, you know, although we give Grant Haley a stock up, Janoris Jenkins got burned for a long pass. Eli Apple, you know, was out of position on a couple of plays. And the Giants are really counting on those two guys to be solid on the outside. We've concerned ourselves mostly with the depth, and I'm still concerned about that, because maybe it's not fair to pick on Leonard Johnson. He played, I think, 45 snaps after having been in camp with the Giants for less than a week. So, you know, so maybe it's not fair to pick on two or three plays that he didn't make. You know, but I think the depth is a concern, obviously, still. You know, looks like B.W. Webb is stepping up and might be a guy who earns one of those roster spots. We talked about Grant Haley. You know, I still think it's hit and miss as to how much William Gay, you know, he's a great teammate. He's a great leader. He's a good guy to have. But I still think it's a question as to how much he actually has left physically. You know, but if Janoris Jenkins and Eli Apple are going to give up big plays, you know, then that secondary is going to be a problem.
I agree. And I got to think that the Giants are going to actively watch that waiver wire when the cuts start to be made. I just don't think that they're finished yet with that particular unit.
Patty, with that said, I think we will call it a show for today. We will be back later in the week, Giants fans, as the Giants head to Detroit to hold joint practices with the